Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the show. This is the Pop Rocks Radio Talk Show. I'm your host, Pop Art Painter Jamie Rocks, and this is the big show. You found it. I'm glad you did. I am, I said it the other day, we had the show. I started out having a great week and continuing along that same trajectory. I'm very, very happy with it, and I hope you are having a great week as well. The coolness continues, ladies and gentlemen. Tonight, we have got a returning guest. He's a filmmaker, director, co-writer of a new film that drops here in a couple weeks, actually, the 1st of March. I got to tell you, I was dying laughing and just amazed at this movie when I watched it. And without further ado, I want to talk to our filmmaker tonight about his new epic. His new epic, ladies and gentlemen. Just slide on over, Citizen Kane. We're talking Murderitaville and Mr. Paul Dale. Paul, how are you?
I'm doing fantastic, Jamie. Thank you for having me again. I'm excited to be talking to you.
Absolutely, absolutely. Last time, it's been a couple years now. I think it was 2022, and Sewer Gators had just dropped. Hilarious movie. Hilarious.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
Again, one of my favorites, and the cool thing about Sewer Gators is it's one of those films when you're having a get together or something, and you know, with my friends, I'm kind of known as a film guy. You know, they're like, oh gosh, what's he gonna put on tonight? You know, is it at least gonna be in English? I can't help it. Is it going to be super artsy-fartsy? Sewer Gators is not, although I can wax on about it painfully because it is such a great, great piece of art. And you don't disappoint with Murderitaville. I love it. As a matter of fact, I was just having dinner with my brother and sister-in-law the other night, me and my wife were, and I had... we're in South Florida here, and there's a certain segment of the population, a little long in the tooth, and big Jimmy Buffett fans. And so, we hear it and we see it all the time. So I had to mention, I said, guys, I have a filmmaker coming on the show, and, I told them a synopsis of the movie real quick, and they both were just amazed at the brilliance of it. So there you go. I don't know how you came up with the idea, but it's fantastic.
Oh, thank you so much, man. I need to get you to do press for me. You're better at selling this than I am.
Come on. It sells itself. Like, what's our killer gonna have? A hockey mask? No. Done, tired, boring, expected. Well, is he going to be a demon from another dimension? No. He's going to be a parrot head. Brilliant.
Thank you, man. Thank you.
Absolutely. How did this all come about?
So, it's one of those things that I thought of the title randomly one day. I don't know where things like that come from in your brain. I forget where I heard it. There was some TV show I was watching not long ago, and somebody on it said an idea is a fart your brain makes, which I thought was a great way to put it. So I'm not sure where that title popped into my head from, but I was like, oh, that's really funny. And then it just sort of took on a life of its own. Originally, the concept was going to be a bunch of Jimmy Buffett impersonators. Basically, I'm assuming you're in South Florida. You guys have hurricane parties down there? Or is that just a Louisiana
absolutely.
Thing? Okay.
No, it's
okay.
It's on the news every hurricane, and you're going, what the hell is wrong with these people?
But, so it was going to be a bunch of Jimmy Buffett impersonators having a hurricane party, and then they were going to start getting killed off one by one in sort of and then there were none fashion. And then just logistically it evolved. And the only thing that I lost between that version and this version that I really wish I'd have been able to keep was a great joke in which I wanted to basically, the killer was just going to wear a parrot mask, like a mascot costume mask, basically. And then at the end of the movie, when you had your sort of final girl confrontation situation, right, she was going to rip the mask off, and then he was going to be the mutant parrot creature underneath that mask, which I thought would have just been a great gag. But when the movie evolved, I couldn't figure out a way to work that in, unfortunately. Ooh. But yeah, that's the only thing that I lost in translation. But it's one of those things that you write it and it kind of takes on a life of its own, a very weird life of its own.
Well, Paul, I got to tell you, I'm so pleased to hear you say this. A couple things. Because, man, I don't want to – I hate pulling the curtain away, you know. Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. But I'm going to. I'm going to because you're just that cool. In my world, you know, art and all this and that, so often I get these little books at the dollar store, these little, you know, like fit in your shirt pocket type thing, and you put notes on them. Because I'm always writing stuff down because, you know, I'm an old man. Who should be listening to Jimmy Buffett more, probably. Anyhow, I always have these, and I have a box of like 50 of them in it. And all that's in there, I'll hear a phrase in a song or have an idea or it's just something, and I'm like, that would make that's a great painting title. Because for me, one of the hardest parts is I'll paint the painting, and then I'm like, what the hell do I, you know, we go to put it on eBay or whatever. I'm like, what the hell do we call this thing? You know, because you can actually create the story with the title a little. It helps, you know, when it's needed.
No.
Especially if you're
definitely
doing an abstract painting. You know what I mean?
I believe it.
It could be anything. So I do that, and I have all these, and sometimes I'll just paint a painting, and I'm like, I don't know what I'm going to call it. So let's grab the box, start going through the books. Oh, here we go. There you go, folks. That's the genius behind, you know, the muse is upon me. Not really, but, you know, you got to title it something. It's jazz, you know. But anyway, so I'm glad I'm not the only artsy person doing that, my friend.
Oh, yeah. No, brilliant. Definitely. Because I've gone your way, too, where I've written a script and not had a title, and that's so hard to go backwards and reverse engineer, because I feel like anything that I can come up with after I have a script written is always trite or on the nose, and I can't stand it. I find it's much easier to work on a title.
And it can't be too off.
Right.
It can't be too off, because if you're like me, I don't think that there, you know, people are in colleges are going to be analyzing. I hope they do. Hope I'm wrong there. But my big thing mentally is I'm like, okay, now in 100 years, when this painting's on the Antiques Roadshow and they're picking it apart, you know, in your case, it is a film studies course, and there's going to be students going, well, you know, I think with Margaritaville, the meaning was the collapse of the socio-geopolitical, you know, whatever. You know that's going to happen.
Oh, I do think about
so
that sometimes.
Wonky.
As Jimmy Buffett fades from the cultural zeitgeist, right? Like, what the hell are people going to think this movie is about? It's almost like making
absolutely
a Fatty Arbuckle movie today or something.
I'm telling you. Oh, gosh. Yeah, I think old Fatty would have been canceled. Fatty, I think, was the first person to get canceled.
Yeah.
Everybody forgets about Fatty. He carried those early Little Rascal movies. Or shorts or whatever. I guess they were short. They were short, so I don't know. waist-wise or height-wise. You don't get a name like Fatty being a skinny man. Well, you could, I guess. Anyhow.
Yeah, if you're in the mob or something, you get one of those ironic names.
Exactly. Exactly. Murder Readerville. Now, if memory serves, Paul, and forgive me, because I think it was 2021, 2022. I think it was 2022 when you were last on the show. And I'm trying to remember. You're in Louisiana, right?
I am, Texas? Yes. I'm in Louisiana about an hour north of New Orleans.
Okay.
Sort of
okay.
A suburb
great.
Of New Orleans.
Weird area, but great. And I say that with love. There are certain aspects in the country, certain areas. And ladies and gentlemen, if you've traveled around, and you know, you'll get these, I call it my Detroit Spidey sense. You'll be in certain areas, and it's not necessarily a bad thing, but I'm not into this stuff. My wife is the, you know, she owns a crystal shop, and she's very attuned to these certain things in the world, as I am not. But I will say, a lot of her friends will, you know, and people of that persuasion will say, well, there's ley lines in the world, and, you know, where spiritual energies converse and whatnot. And I've been to certain areas. Portland, Oregon's one, Austin, Texas, Sedona, Arizona. And I got to tell you, go about an hour north of New Orleans, and things get a little wonky. It's weird, but in a weird, artsy way, you know. It's just crazy.
Yeah.
You grew up there?
I did, yeah, yeah. You're absolutely right, or your wife is absolutely right. There's something, I don't know, there are certain places that I've been to in the world, you know, where you kind of walk around a city or something, and there's just, I don't know, it's I can't describe it, but there's a feeling about being in a place. That's
absolutely
ethereal, I guess.
Absolutely. Yeah, I grew up in Metro Detroit. And the only feeling we had was run, get out, please. You know, I imagine Lebanon feels the same. I'm kidding, folks. Don't send me emails from either Lebanon or Detroit. I hear they're making a comeback. I hope that's true. Got to get some industry in there. That's all I'm saying. But yeah, Louisiana is crazy. I moved to New Orleans right out of college. I lived there for about 6 months, and I had never been in the American South before. And I took a Greyhound bus from Boston to New Orleans. So we went through your neck of the woods. And the Greyhound, sometimes it is, but oftentimes they'll stop every so often, these little towns, pick people up, drop people off.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember getting off the bus, and there was these three guys sitting on a bench, older men wearing overalls. I mean, it was like casting, you know? And I'm just like, and they looked at me, and I'm in my leather jacket and my punk rock look, and everything, and they're like, oh, boy, just kind of shook their heads a little bit, you know? And I'm like, oh, God, where am I at? I hope this bus doesn't break down. No, very. But it was weird, you know? Big live oaks and stuff. Yeah. Moss hanging from tree. I don't know if it's moss. But something hanging from the tree.
Yeah, the Spanish moss, hanging down.
Yeah. It was crazy. I'd never seen that before. It was great. Well, that's cool that you grew up in this. Let me ask you this, for those who don't know, did you know as a kid growing up in this environment that making cool movies was, you know, what you needed to be doing? Your calling?
Yeah. you know, it all started when I was a very young kid. You know, I grew up in the 90s, and my old man bought basically every home camcorder that he could get his hands on. It was his sort of hobby, right? And periodically, he would have to watch my brother and I, right? My mom would have to go off and do something. And he didn't, you know, my dad's a great guy, but he didn't know what the hell to do with young kids. So basically, we would get the camcorder and we would remake movies. So we did, you know, we remade Rocky and basically a bunch of 80s movies, Rocky and Red Dawn. And just so we would do these almost shot-for-shot remakes of stuff to the best of our ability in our backyard on the weekends. And it's just something that stuck with me and hooked me over the years. And I guess I never stopped doing that, making movies in my backyard in a roundabout way.
That's fantastic. I'm picturing these two little kids. Gazzo needs his $200. I got 70. Here, take my coat. Rocky reference, for those who don't know.
Yeah.
Brilliant movie.
My brother was always the lead. He was always Rocky, and I was every other character.
I gotcha.
You know, little five-year-old me playing Mick, walking around with a cigar in my mouth.
That's... What you need, Rock, is a manager. Such a brilliant movie. You know, it's so funny, and I wish we were doing this before Valentine's Day, because every girl I know started out, you know, when their boyfriends or guys that I know, or, you know, hey, let's watch Rocky. They're like, I don't want to watch a sports movie, you know, and it's like, no, it's a love story. It's a romance, you know. It's not a rom-com. It's a rom-action, but it definitely is, you know.
100%. That's one of those movies in the series, and I feel like there was a trend of this in the 80s, where like the first movie, you forget how good it is because of how sort of cheesy the sequels got. I don't get me wrong.
Right.
I love
as they went
most
along.
Of the Rocky
absolutely.
Movies. Like, I think Rocky IV is a masterpiece in its own weird way.
Rocky IV is the one with Dolph, right? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Where Rocky ends the Cold War.
That's right. Those guys can't follow him up the mountain. I remember.
But yeah, then you go back to the first one. It's like, wow, this is an actually really great film, you know. And First Blood turned into that too. All the Rambo movies did a similar type of thing.
Oh yeah.
Where if you go back to the original,
you watch First Blood, you walk around and thank people for their service. You know, you're like, oh my god. You know. Realize.
But by the time you get to three, he's taking 50 cals to the shoulder and just still getting up and going. But sorry, that's a tangent that has nothing to do with this. But.
Oh, it's so true. Well, this is cool, man. And now, folks, a couple quick messages from some of our show sponsors. Stay tuned. We'll be back with the rest of the interview after these quick messages.
At Holy Cross Health, you can get the quality, compassionate care you and your family deserve ASAP. Holy Cross Health offers several convenient ways to access remarkable primary, specialty, and same-day care online for new and existing patients. You can also schedule mammograms and lab appointments online. Visit www.holycrossasap.com to get the medical care you need quickly. That's holycrossasap.com.
Listen to this cool episode ad-free. If you're a VIP member, you can become one on my website, www.jamierocks.us, www.jamierocks.us.
Hey, rockers. This is Stacey Lane Wilson, author and editor of the Rock and Roll Nightmares book series. I have a new podcast that features interviews with musicians, artists, authors, filmmakers, and music historians. In season one, I interview Phil Soussan from Ozzy Osbourne's band, Scott Crawford, the director of the Cream magazine documentary, Lisa S. Johnson, the award-winning author and photographer of the books 108 Rockstar Guitars and Immortal Axes, just to name a few. The Rock and Roll Nightmares podcast explores the dark and mysterious and sometimes funny side of music from the 60s, 70s, 80s, and beyond. Enjoy on RSS or anywhere you like to listen to podcasts.
Glittering amethyst, energizing citrine, colorful fluorite, the other side of the sun, Earth's treasures brought to light. Since 1999, we have offered a unique collection of hand-selected minerals and gems for every budget, for novices, collectors, and healers. Visit www.tosots.com to view our wide selection of offerings and use coupon code ROCKS, that's R-O-X-X, for 10% off your first order. Remember, TOSOTS.com. Earth's treasures brought to light.
Hi, folks. Jamie Rocks here. Hey, if you're a big fan of cool historical books like me, then you're going to want to check out our newest show sponsor, Michelle Albion. Fantastic author. She's got some really interesting, cool books out that you're going to want to check out. I'm a big fan of all of these. The Florida Life of Thomas Edison, The Quotable Edison, Quotable Henry Ford, Quotable Eleanor Roosevelt, and, of course, The Quotable Amelia Earhart. Michelle's just very keen and very, very cool, and these are just very cool books. So check out her website. There's links to where you can pick these up on Amazon and Barnes & Noble all over the place. MichelleAlbion.com, MichelleAlbion.com, MichelleAlbion.com. Very, very cool stuff. Check it out, folks. So you have the concept, you got the title, you start, and it starts writing, you know, it's coming to you, you're doing the whole Michelangelo, chipping the marble away to reveal the angel. It's going on. Now, did you say, okay, this is going to, because honestly, you know what, I don't think, and we were kind of joking a little bit about sewer gators and whatnot. Sewer gators is brilliant for what it is. It is, you know, I don't think I'm telling tales out of school when I say, well, this doesn't look like a $60 million big budget film, because it wasn't, you know?
No.
Didn't need to be. This film, it seems from, no, I'm not in the film business. I'm just a guy who watches films sometimes. This seems like a little more money was spent on this one. Is that, would you say that was accurate or about the same?
Yeah.
Because it looks like you spent more money on this.
I spent a little bit more money. It's still not not to the level that most movies do, and nowhere near that range. But yeah, Sewer Gators was a big learning curve for me in terms of figuring out how to do these types of things and how to do them sort of on the budget level that I have, right? And that's really – so this – while, yes, I did spend some more money on this one, I was wiser about where I spent my money. It's probably a more accurate reason as to why I think this one came out a lot more polished and a lot better.
Well, I love them both. Let me ask you this. Burning question,
mm-hmm.
And I don't want to give anybody any ideas. Man, I should have asked this before we went on mic. But I gotta know. I'm curious. Now we're talking about a very popular. We're talking about an American icon here. You know, there's cruise ships with this guy's shtick. You know, I mean, there absolutely are resorts and stuff. When making this, was there ever a feeling of, these guys are gonna, you know, I'm gonna wind up sued to the moon on this.
It's funny because when I shot the movie, we made the movie over the summer. The thought didn't even occur to me, to be completely honest with you, because I tend to act first and then think later, which is probably not the best decision for life.
You're an artist, you know, that's what happens.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what happens.
I'd have been a plumber or a lawyer if I was smarter. But,
making the big bucks.
Right, exactly. I was – when this gentleman passed away, the thought did occur to me, especially because I was very afraid that it was going to come off as a really bad taste thing. You know, and I didn't want it to be misinterpreted as like, oh, you know, Jimmy Buffett died, so now you're gonna do this opportunistic horror movie about, you know, him and this.
Right.
Anyway, so that was when that thought kind of occurred to me, and I was a little leery about it. But it hasn't happened yet, Jamie. So.
No, that's good. That's good. I love it. You know, it's weird.
I'm waiting for my cease and desist to come in the mail, but.
That's fantastic that it hasn't. I don't think it will now, you know. I mean, at this point, you know what I mean?
I should hope not. I mean, it's the marketing's been going out there, the trailer's out, it's made the rounds in some of his fandom circles. So I think we're okay. I hope, and my hope is too that anybody who sees it would get that it's a loving little homage, not a, you know,
Winnie
the Pooh blood
and
honey.
And well, you know, I was just going to bring that up. You know how I said I had dinner with my sister and brother-in-law? They're great
mm-hmm.
people. I love them to death, would do anything. And my niece, you know, their daughter, I'm telling you, she is the peach to my Bowser. I just love her. However, so we're having dinner, and we had the conversation about you. Your ears were probably dry. And little Wiley, that's her name, was kind of, you know, she's like almost two. She's at that age. She gets, if attention isn't on her, you know, she gets mm-hmm. starts to get a little loud. And so my sister-in-law, without, you know, she grabs her phone, looks, you know, has them on speed memory or whatever, saved a Mickey Mouse or, you know, and she goes, oh, mm-hmm. you want Winnie the Pooh? Okay. And she hits the Winnie the Pooh and, moo, there's a Pooh video playing and little Wiley's transfixed, you know, I mean, yeah. So I mention it, you know, because I'm a smartass, Gen Z or Gen X, I should say, and I'm a smartass. So I'm like, well, just make sure it's not that, you know, the horror movie Winnie the Pooh that you put on there so quick. And my sister, bless their hearts, they're young parents, and anybody who has kids that if you ever met folks, you know how they get with their kid. You know, it's all about kids. That's the world. So as it should be, as it should be. And they're like, what are you talking about? And that leads to a whole conversation of copyrights and copyright, public domain. They had no idea about. And they're like, somebody made a horror Winnie the Pooh. And me and my wife are just like, yeah, man, what you guys been under a rock? I mean, how did you not know about
this? It was a big deal when it came out, yeah.
And the look of horror, societal disappointment, you know, just they were not impressed with this concept at all. And, I'm like, well, we're losing the audience here. We're losing the audience. How can we pull them back? Well, it's not that bad. Although, you know, Mickey Mouse became public. And it just where I just like, here, go deeper into the quicksand, Jamie.
Right.
waited right on it. But, yeah, they were not happy with the – well, they can't renew that? Well, no, you know. Yeah. Telling you. But they love the Murderitaville. Just that's all we hear from a certain society here.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
And it ain't like he's singing about curing cancer, you know. Let's get screwed up and you don't give a shit. You know, that's the essence of that song. not giving a shit. You know, it's not like, yeah, like I said, we're curing cancer, solving the homeless.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Matter of fact, he's encouraging people to be homeless in that song. I will go so far. I'm kidding, folks. I'm going to get so many emails. Anyhow, so it goes, you have the film, you've got the idea, you've written the script, casting, and this is fantastic. I love the characters. Speaking of giving a shit, I gave a shit about the characters.
I really did, actually.
Yeah, they were fantastic. Were these people you knew, or did you have a process where people were sending you reels? How did that
Come out? Yeah, most of the actors are people that I've worked with before. You know, some of them I've known since I was a kid. You know, and they basically, for whatever reason, keep being willing to do my movies. So I enlist them every time. The only really new person that I'd never met before was Jenna Francis, who plays the lead actress in the picture. She, I had an actress who was going to do that part, and then basically she had a scheduling conflict. And so it was sort of like I was locked in and kind of in panic mode because I had everybody else book together, and when you're working on this kind of budget, you know, it's really hard to coordinate a bunch of different schedules because, you know, nobody's nobody's buying a vacation home off of what I can pay them on my movie sets, you know.
Not yet, but it's on the way.
But so I had this guy that I work with. He's a fellow director. I was talking to him, and I said, Benjamin, I really need an actress. I'm kind of, you know, kind of up against the wall here. And he said, well, what are you looking for? And I said, I need somebody who will show up on time and remember lines. Because I was really I was at that level of desperate. You know, I'd gone through my Rolodex of actresses, and I couldn't get anybody. Nobody was available. And he said, I got somebody great for you. And he sent me Jen's reel, and I watched it, and I was like, wow, she's really great. Would she actually do this? And so anyway, I gave her a call, and we never met before she set foot on the set for the first time, believe it or not.
Wow.
And she absolutely blew me away. She was fantastic, and it's one of those, you know, people that as soon as you meet her, you immediately fall in love with her. She's kind of one of those personality types. So everybody on the set loved her.
That's cool.
She was game and showed up and was great. And it was one of those things where everything just kind of falls into place perfectly. And I can't be happier about it, honestly.
No, that's fantastic. That is fantastic. Those are good people to have around on a project because, you know, sometimes if your world's anything like my world, you know, you're organizing something, you're trying to do something, and the universe sometimes just says, here's some challenges for you.
Yeah.
You know, here we go. But if you have one of those very charismatic people around, it kind of softens the blow when everybody else is ready to, you know, mutiny on you. you know, so I like hanging out with people like that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just for self-preservation. yeah, it's amazing. No, they're always fun to hang out with. Well, that's cool, man. That is cool. Well, it's very interesting. Now, is there a huge? I mean, you're in Louisiana. It's a tourist state. You know, I mean, and pine trees. But is there a big Jimmy Buffett group there? You know, is he as popular there as he is here?
Definitely not as popular.
okay.
I did a con in Orlando a few months back, and I brought a copy of the movie before it had been released anywhere. It was an early cut of it, and it was the response from people was overwhelming, the amount of people in Florida who were just super into it. He definitely
nice.
Has his fans here because he used to come and play Jazz Fest every year. You know, this is our big music
mm-hmm.
festival in New Orleans. And I believe he lived here for a time. So he's got some followers here, but nothing like you guys have got. Y'all are you're in the Mecca of Jimmy Buffett fans.
I'm telling you. Well, I think, you know, we joke, and the reality is his big hit and really his whole brand was, you know, running away to paradise, you know? I mean, that's the dream he was selling, and that's a pretty easy dream to sell, you know? That's shooting fish
yeah.
in a barrel. That ain't real hard to sell. But I think that's why it's so relatable, you know? And,
mm-hmm.
and that's the big dream here. I live here. I see it. You know, we have neighbors very well to do. You know, they have two cars in their driveway. Each one's in excess of $125,000 on them, just sitting there like they're a Toyota. You know, they are not, ladies and gentlemen, Toyota. But when they're not here, they live up in the Hamptons, and you know, they come down here and in the winters and whatnot, get away from the snow and stuff. And that is, I don't know, 60% of the population, I would say, you know, high 40s at the least. That's the world we live in down here. And so that dream is alive and well, is what I'm saying. And, you know, good for that, you know. I like, because you've taken something that, and you've done the twist on it, you know, and I like that. That's good art to me in the fact that, let's throw a horror element into that idea. Let's make a nightmare, you know?
Yeah.
But let's do it in a funny way so it's palatable. And it's really funny. You know, you're good at writing comedy, man.
Thank you, man. I appreciate
absolutely.
That. Yeah, my wife doesn't think I'm funny, but, you know.
Well, you know. She must be be sisters with my wife because I get the same thing, you know. To be fair, I kind of annoy my wife a little bit. This is very true in our relationship. I will try bits out on her, you know, jokes and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, I'll come up with something brilliant. I'm like, oh, I'm saving that for the show. And I'll just casually throw them out. And we're at the point in our marriage where she's like, no, that doesn't work. On to the next, baby. That's sad. And she's right. She's always right, you know. So I take care of her.
Isn't it annoying when they're right?
It used to be more so. Now I'm just worn down. Just like, that's how it is. You know. Oh, man. No, let me ask you this. That leads to an interesting question. So you have Murveritaville. The idea that everything's been, you know, getting ready. The plates are getting ready to be juggled. And, you know, you sit down with the Mrs. there and, you know, Mrs. Dale and pitch her. How would she respond? How did that conversation go?
Man, that's a good question. I wish I could remember what she said when I pitched it to her. It was, if I had to guess, her reaction was probably... She probably said, you know, why, just knowing her.
And now, folks, a couple quick messages from some of our show sponsors. Stay tuned. We'll be back with the rest of the interview after these quick messages.
Al Hendrickson Toyota has done it again. The number one Toyota volume dealer in the Southeast region per 2023 new Toyota retail sales in the Southeast region per Southeast Toyota distributors 3 years in a row. Who saves you money? Al Hendrickson Toyota. Lease a 2024 Toyota Camry LE for $99 a month. Only $99 a month for 36 months. Shop alhendricksontoyota.com/new-vehicle-specials for offer details which expire 2/29/24. Who saves you money? The easy to get to Al Hendrickson Toyota, West Apple Road.
Listen to this cool episode ad-free. If you're a VIP member, you can become one on my website, www.jamierocks.us, www.jamierocks.us.
Metal Babe Mayhem is more than just an online store, it's a destination. MetalBabeMayhem.com carries over 150 rock and roll products, including clothing, jewelry, and accessories. Metal Babe Mayhem also offers shrine clothing and alchemy gothic jewelry. In addition, Metal Babe Mayhem founder Allison Metal Babe Cohen is a rock and roll journalist who supports local and national artists with rockin' reviews, interviews, playlists, networking, and more. Metal Babe Mayhem is taking over the world, one shirt at a time.
My Love Shack Apothecary online shop has everything you need to build a special gift for yourself or someone who needs a little pampering. I hand make all of the products in small batches using only plant-based ingredients and therapeutic-grade essential oils. Whether you choose one of my curated sets or want to build a custom gift set, My Love Shack Apothecary has everything you need to send a little sunshine to someone today. Please visit us online at www.loveshackapothecary.com. That's www.loveshackapothecary.com, as well as online on Instagram and Facebook. Links are in our website.
Support for this podcast comes from the University of Texas MD Anderson Cancer Center, ranked one of the top cancer centers in the nation for the last 27 years. The doctors at MD Anderson treat more rare cancers in a single day than many physicians see in a lifetime. and treatment plans are tailored to an individual patient's needs, allowing more comprehensive and thorough care. To become a patient, please visit MakingCancerHistory.com.
Aloha. If you have stress in your life or even anxiety and panic, I want to invite you to the Anxiety Coaches Podcast for a way out. The Anxiety Coaches Podcast is a relaxing and inspiring show bringing you lifestyle changes to calm your nervous system and help you heal anxiety, panic, and PTSD for life. We bring you 2 episodes every week. There's no need to walk this path alone. Join us for a relaxing, informative, and inspiring time and start your journey out of anxiety panic. That's anxietycoachespodcast.com. Aloha.
Ruxgear, the online webshop of high-end luxury merchandise and products, all featuring original pop art paintings. From La Jolla to Miami to London, www.merch.jamierox.us.
But, yeah, no, she's always, I give my wife a lot of crap, and she's great. She's always very supportive, and I get her to read all of my scripts first. And if she doesn't think something's funny, that's usually how I know. Well, much like you, I know whether or not it's worth doing. And I wrote this script, and I handed it to her, and I said, I kind of think this is actually good. And she read it, and she was like, no, it actually is. It's shockingly good. I think she had a low bar in her mind for the Jimmy Buffett horror movie. But
well, you know. It's whenever I know any of my filmmaker friends, that they're like, yeah, I'm going to have my wife read the script. I tell you, I just go back to Tim Burton's Ed Wood, and I'm like, well, it could be worse. You know? If she opens the door and there's Paul, you know, looking pretty. Well, you know. Like I said, different conversation. Anyhow. Well, this is fantastic. Now, on a serious note, this is the plan I'm seeing in my notes, and I don't know where I even saw this. I could be wrong on this. I know you're going to have this on digital, Blu-ray, and VHS, and this is going to be available, and I think it's so brilliant how you do this, through your self-distributing, basically, as you kind of do, you know, buythehorns.store is where you sell these and whatnot primarily. Now, I have it also listed, it's going to be on Amazon as well.
Yes. So, yeah, the digital version will be on Amazon as well. I self-distribute everything, but it's one of those. It's, you know, sometimes you got to go where the people are. But if any of the listeners are interested, if I can make a plea selfishly, please get it through buythehorns.store because, you know, Jeff Bezos doesn't need another rocket. And
exactly.
They take a hefty cut. So.
Absolutely. I sell, you know, when I have music guests on the show, people always ask me, they're like, oh, you know, I love this, you know, band XYZ that you had on. You know, where's the best place to buy their music? And I'm like, at their website, at a merch table at their store. That's where the best place to do. And I'm like, oh, I was just going to get it off Spotify. I'm like, really? You know, I don't want to be the one to break this to people. You can Google it yourself. You would be shocked at the amount at the pie split up with music and certain ginormous streaming companies. And I imagine it's the same thing with film as well.
It's,
you know,
it's a. I don't want to get on a soapbox complaining about giant corporations and how they screw artists. But yeah, it's a. It's not
Man,
great.
Any other business. Yeah, these people would be in jail, you know?
Yeah.
Hanging out with Danny Masterson, you know? I mean, it's criminal. It's criminal.
It really is, man. But, you know, it's, I don't know when we got to this place where art became a thing that we just don't value culturally. I'm sorry. I'm going to start, like I said, get on my soapbox and stop being fun in this conversation.
No, but you're right.
I'll stop that. But
it is so true. I tell people this all the time. About 20 years ago or so, it was about 20 years, maybe a little more, I went to Paris. I had to go to Paris. They flew me over to give a lecture at this big art museum there on pop art. Apparently, they're like, yeah, let's get this guy to come talk. Hey, it was a free trip to Paris. I was going, and went.
Well, I feel bad for you,
and
man. That's a rough go.
Yeah. That's just terrible. No, it was fantastic. But the thing that I noticed first off, when I get to Paris, everybody spoke French and smoked cigarettes. But that's okay. I didn't mind. Anyway, as a man, people will ask you, and this may happen with women, I do not know. Forgive my ignorance, folks. But as a guy, what you do is really tied up in your identity. First thing people ask you, nice to meet you. What do you do for a living? Meaning, what's the point of you breathing my air? And, it's just how it is. In your world, filmmaking, I make movies. Automatically check whether they're good movies or not. Doesn't matter. It's just you are, holy moly, I'm meeting a Quentin Tarantino here. This is going to be an interesting conversation, but with painters, it's a little different. It's that way in Paris. I was treated like a doctor, a lawyer. It was amazing. Here,
that's awesome.
You tell people, oh, I'm a painter. They're like, oh, yeah? Houses? Cars? What do you paint? I'm like, well, depends on the check, man. But I'll paint a cow's ass if the check's big enough. I don't care. But, I didn't want to come home. I was supposed to be there a week, and I wound up staying a month. And, my father's calling me, and he's like, you can't – this is my ex-wife at the time, but, he's like, you can't leave your wife this way. You got to come home. You have responsibility, You can't just run away to Paris. What the hell's wrong with you? And I'm like, Dad, I don't want to come home, I'm tending bar in a local bar. I'm painting. I'm having – meet lots of girls who smoke cigarettes. It's great. It's great.
That's a very. It would be a very easy place to run away to. I'll tell you that. I love Paris.
But they have a different viewpoint for art. And in America, it's not. America is all about, and especially now, it's all about likes, branding,
100%.
Influencing. If you look, all this kind of stuff, and. And in your world, I'm sure there are cast. I talk to thespians, actors that, they want to know the follower count on Instagram. They got to submit that with the headshot,
Oh, yeah.
Are we going to get a lot of free press from this? What happens? You, though, as a filmmaker, and I want any upcoming filmmaker or anybody in business, really. Interesting thing. Paul takes it, he does, it is available on Amazon, it will be available on Amazon, but when you make a movie, and forgive me if I'm simplifying this, Paul yells, cut, that's a wrap, folks, and they bring that clacker down or whatever, it isn't done that, it's halfway, the rock is halfway up the hill, because then it's, of course, editing and all that, but then even after that, it's festival submissions, finding, courting distribution and the real fun aspect, I'm sure, of filmmaking begins. So you kind of sidestep that by saying, I'm going to do it myself. And I think that's the way to go.
You're absolutely right. It's a hard learned lesson, I'll say, that the sidestepping all that was the way to go because. I think a lot of filmmakers have in their heads, at least I did for sure, that, all right, I'm going to make my movie, and then someone will just come in and cut me a check, and then I can take that money and make my next movie, And
right.
What I have found in my experience with those folks is that, you come in and they say, well, we're not going to cut you a check, but you'll get money eventually. And then it becomes, we had to spend money on this, that, or the other thing. Right. And so actually, we're still about $50,000 away from you seeing a penny, you know, and it's
and you've already spent the money in your head. I'm sure you have.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
You're like, eh, new dryer, not a problem. Got this done.
Right.
I would be that way. You know, I don't think I'm telling tales out of school. Yeah, you know,
or you'll
we
get,
try to
you
play
know,
like
my
we would in folks, but you know, we're human.
Yeah. My favorites will be like, well, you know, could you maybe put another scene of a, let's say there's an octopus in there fighting the parrot guy, and you're like, what? You know, you'll get things like that. That's
right.
Next time you make a movie, put this in there instead. And it's like, okay.
I got to tell you, the amount of times, because we put it up, we have links, folks. We have links to Paul Dale Films, you know, and we have ByTheHorns.store. And Facebook link and the IMDb, of course, your IMDb. But we always put the IMDb up whenever there's a film guest on, you know, because people want to see, well, what else has this guy done? You know, maybe I want to see something else. You never know. and maybe some producer's listening somewhere. Who knows, you know? I want to work with this guy. Let me write him a check. we always had that link up there. But the amount of times with independent films that the title that I'm given in the press kit and whatnot, you know, when we build the show and all this and that, is totally different than the one on IMDb. And when I first started seeing that happen, I'm like, well, what the hell? What's going on here? It's like, oh, distribution didn't think it was a good title. You know?
Right.
Or they had this that was too similar, so now we're calling it this. I'm like, I like the original one better. Because
right.
Usually 9 times out of 10, folks, your original idea is the best one. You know, that's usually how that goes. Stuff like that happens, man. That's crazy.
Oh, yeah.
Now, go ahead. I didn't mean to cut you off.
No. I was going to go on another rant of just about, it just winds up being too many cooks. You know, at the end of the day, it's you get in there and then, I'll tell you this is an aside, and I'm sorry. I keep derailing the conversation with aside.
No.
I have this true crime – I hate to call it a reality TV show, but it's an unscripted show that I've been trying to sell now for several years, and I hope nobody involved in this hears this. But it's gotten so, you know, it's this crazy story of there's this little hodunk town in rural Louisiana where there's these little old ladies who are solving cold cases, and it's the craziest story you've ever seen, and it's just gotten – it's been years now of dealing with these producers and these networks and things, and it's gotten so watered down, and it's turned into something that's completely different, and they can't figure out why they can't sell the show. And it's like, well, because there is no show anymore.
Right.
You know, you want it to be something that's not real. Anyway, sorry.
No,
again,
it's
my soapbox tangents here.
It happens. I'll tell you about – I don't know, 15 years ago, maybe. Well, yeah, about 15 years now that I think about it. I woke up one day with this idea, and I said, oh, I'm going to do steampunk. The whole steampunk thing was happening pretty hot and heavy. And I said, I'm going to do steam pop. I'm going to do an art show. That's going to be the theme of it. It's going to be my paintings with a steampunk theme to it. It's going to be great. At the same time,
cool.
I'm going to put a coffee table book together and, you know, how can we not make money? You know, this is
great. Absolutely.
And yeah, you know, I'd painted 11 paintings, got all ready to do it, you know, was getting ready to do the book. And, stuff happened and whatnot, life as things do. And it got put on the back burner. And I'm like, it's a great idea still. I'm going to come back to it in 6 months, you know? And those 6 months just kept adding up. And here we are. I never went back to it. And I was talking to a friend of mine, and they're like, why don't you do that still? And I'm like, because the trend is gone. The fire is cool now. It wouldn't do as well. It might do okay with a niche crap, but not like it would have, you know?
Right.
Nobody's making mainstream steampunk videos now, you know? And
right.
We missed the train, you know? And that happens, you know, and especially with an artistic project like you're talking about with true crime, it's hot, but maybe there will be a point when it's not. And I'll give you a good example, ladies and gentlemen. think about my wife. When I first met my wife, man, she, I don't think there was a ghost hunting show she did not watch. Ghost hunting was the thing, you know. I was always a little skeptical of it because I'm like, they're like, oh, we're getting a weird electrical signal here. And I'm like, yeah, because you're carrying a boom mic, you know. there ain't another electrical source in 50 miles. Are you kidding? Of course it's picking up. Your mystery solved, you know. Something moves that curtain. It's a windy night, you know. Come on. But people were into it, you know. It was a big thing. Not so much anymore. You know, you'll occasionally see these, but you're not like it was. It ain't prime time on the sci-fi. I don't even know if there is a sci-fi channel. I don't have cable for years. But, yeah, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, but it's very strange how that happens. The market constantly shifts, and it's just, yeah, it's bizarre.
Well, it sucks, too, because here you are. You filmed this great thing, and you put all this work and shit into it. You know, you want something to happen with it.
Right.
I don't know. The only thing you can really do is wait for it to come back around, because these things tend to do that, you know.
Yeah.
The bus will stop again, you know. Have to catch the
bus. Yeah, right.
no. Maybe a couple decades, but I guess. oh, man. Well, that's cool, though. So there's a constant, I mean, as an artist, as a filmmaker, you're dealing with this stuff, man. But you've taken a lot of the nonsense out by doing it yourself. And I think that's a great, great, something great that people in other art fields can learn from, you know?
Yeah.
Filmmakers. I have a friend who wrote a book, and she's. I'm like, well, you selling any copies? You making any money? And she goes, well, I'll know at the quarter from Amazon. They, you know, get paid four times a year with Amazon. You know, I didn't know that.
Right.
It isn't like 10 people watched your film today. Here's your check. I don't think it works like that.
No, I think for films, Amazon does monthly, which is, I mean,
Well,
definitely better than quarterly, but it's, yeah.
I'm telling you. I remember being a kid. I grew up, my father was always self-employed, and you know, so I was around this shit. And I learned very quickly, you know, net 30 is way better than net 60. And net 90 don't even do the deal, unless it's government.
Yeah.
You know, waiting a long time to get paid, and that sucks. That sucks.
Yeah.
You know. You know, you're having dinner with the wife, with Mrs. Gale there, and she's like, "Yeah, you said something about a new dryer." Oh God. You know. Been there, Paul. I've been there. Jesus. Anyhow, Murderitaville, people be able to do that. One of the cool things about Amazon, though, is they do that little, and I don't know how this works, but they have the watch parties where, now, if somebody does that, is that considered like, oh, well, we've got 20 people watching this at one time, you know, and they're all doing their chat and whatnot. Is that count as 20 films, or is that just one viewing of it? Because that would suck.
That's a good question. Yeah, I'm actually not sure. So I don't Amazon's payout thing is so bad. Like the movies won't be on Prime, just because it's like basically if somebody has a subscription to Prime, they watch a movie on there. I mean, it's, you get, I think, a fraction of a penny for every hour that somebody watches it.
It's like having it on YouTube or something.
Right, exactly. And it, you know, I don't mean to sound greedy here, but it's I have two kids and a mortgage, so and I want to keep making movies is the other element of it. You know, the movies all fund the next one. So it's
Absolutely.
Anyway,
it's,
like
it's
I said, I'm sorry this keeps getting into me bitching about Amazon.
No, but it's, we don't have anybody to bitch about this stuff to. It's the same thing, though, Paul, in podcasting. People are always like, oh, Jamie, you know, laying on a pile of money, smog in the dwarf city. No, I'm not. You know, and they're like, oh, he's running ads and stuff. Yeah, we do, but, you know, but I did the same thing that Paul did, folks. I get those ads. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
There are services you can do where they send you, there's services where they'll even send you guests for your podcast, but you got to pay for all that stuff. And
yeah.
I don't do that. You know, I don't do that. Early on, I said, well, that's an option I, you know, can't do at this point. So I made relationships, you know, with different people and distributors and filmmakers, direct and musicians and stuff like that. To build up the guest thing, you know, and that's what you got to do. And advertising, same thing. Just do it myself.
Yeah.
You know when you get paid. You know when the check's in the bank. You know, there's no waiting, which is nice. You know, and it's how they used to do it, old time radio. You know, that's how that used to work. Tonight's episode brought by Lux Potato Chips. You know, or whatever. Right. XYZ Nuts. You know, and, yeah. That's how I said that worked for them. Pretty simple
right.
thing. It's going to work for me. And I think the same thing. You know, you have a website, and utilize it. You know what I mean? But it's getting the thing is getting the word, getting that in front of people to see. And folks, that's why I want everybody out there listening, pick this up at buythehorns.org. You're gonna, you know, you have it, you love it. But also, like and share. Hit that Paul Dale Films, you know, thing and like and share. Help get the word out on this. Share the trailer. I'm telling you, everybody wants to post a funny name. Post this trailer. Your friends will be amazed that you even knew about it. You know, something so cool. It is so true. It is so true. Now, Paul, I think I asked you on Sewer Gators, but I can't remember your response off the top of my head. But I have to ask you about this with this film, Murderitaville, coming available 1st March, folks. Were you able to keep any of the props, and are they in your office there? Or how?
I'm sorry, keep what as a prop now? The phone cut out.
Any
I
of
apologize.
The things. The cool,
oh.
Yeah, cool stuff from the film. Is your wife happy that there's a parrot head? In the living room, you know,
there is a bald cap with feathers glued to it that I still have.
Nice.
Sitting in a room in my house.
Nice. I love
that. Is the one of the alligators from Sewer Gators is somewhere in my house as well, that I'm sure someday, God willing,
it'll
years from now, when I pass on, somebody's cleaning out my house, they're gonna be like, what the hell is all this crap?
Exactly. It's going to wind up on the Antiques Roadshow, on Pawn Stars.
Yeah.
They were still doing that show. Amazing. That's another one of those trends that you never see shows. There used to be a million shows about pawn shops. I got to tell you,
oh,
folks,
yeah.
I'm an old punk rocker, goth guy. I have been to many pawn shops over my time in life. It's been a while since I've had to go to one, but I know how that works. I can tell you very intimately how the pawn situation works. And maybe I just had shitty stuff, but not once did they ever call an expert in to validate what I was trying to pawn. Not once, man.
They're like, $20, take it or leave it. Yeah.
Like, oh, kid, no one uses VHS VCRs anymore. What the hell are you bringing this? I'm like, yeah, exactly. I'm trying to sell it to you. I will say this. I did this one time. I was moving somewhere. I had this real big fancy TV that I had spent a bunch of money on, and I knew it was going to be 6 months before I was able to, I was moving to a different city for 6 months, and then I had it was coming back, and this was in Southern California, a lot of earthquakes and whatnot. And I'm like, well, I could go rent a storage place and put this TV in it, and then an earthquake, it falls over and breaks. or I could go pawn that television for $15 because it was then under the pawn shop's insurance, and they stored it. The cheapest storage I'd ever paid, you know, climate controlled. It was great. Little trick for anybody out there wanting to save a buck.
That is genius. I've never thought of that.
Yeah. I knew the guy who owned the punch. He's like, why? $15? You know, shit, we'll give you $500. I'm like, I don't need the $500. I'll just spend that. Because the thing with pawn shops, if you want your shit back, you got to pay him the money back, you know? And I'm like, I don't want to go spend that and have to come up with it in 6 months, you know? Now, the 15 is good. I'll have that in my pocket, I'm pretty sure. Hopefully. Although I was moving to Las Vegas, that was up in the air. It could have ended way different. Anyway. Well, this is cool, man. Murderitaville. Now, you got to be excited. Are you going to have you already had the little party, the release party? Are you going to do something, do you think?
We had a release party premiere thing for the cast and crew a few weeks back.
Nice.
And that was great. I mean, it's always great. But I'm sure you get this when you finish your work. You want, there's something about different. You look at it differently when people are looking at it, right? It's not even that. I don't know, and maybe I'm crazy for saying this, but it's not even that I really am looking for how they react to it. It's more about, like, I see the work differently when you're watching with someone else, if that makes sense.
Oh, yeah, and you kind of feed off of it, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's a weird thing, but yeah, so that's always a thrill, for sure, once you can actually get it in front of people and get that live reaction, I guess. Which was great. And my hope is, and I don't, it's all up in the air because, you know, I'm a one-man band here trying to make all this stuff happen. I've been doing a lot of horror movie conventions. You know, I'll go and we sell Blu-rays and VHSs and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
So my hope is to start trying to book out sort of dive bars and little local theaters and stuff and do screenings of it in these different towns when I go there.
Brilliant.
For a convention. So, yeah.
That's a brilliant idea.
It's just a blast to watch the movie with people, you know?
Oh, yeah. And a bar, that's cheap entertainment. That's not paying a band, you know what I mean? That is an easy, you know, go to the thrift store, get you one of them screens. Well, hell, just get a sheet or something, you know what I mean? You can put some clips. And you can get a projector. I mean, you probably already have one. You can pick those up on Amazon.
$50 at Walmart. Yeah, that's...
yeah, you know, and a memory stick, and boom, there you go. Mm-hmm. Or hook a laptop to it. We live in a technological golden period, you know. Fantastic. But yeah, any bar would be good with that because the thing is they will sell drinks while people watch that, you know. And,
oh, yeah.
And nobody drinks one drink, you know. They'll be there's a lot of rum that night. Sell a lot of rum is all I'm saying, you know, and here's the filmmaker, you know, and he's in his Hawaiian shirt, you know, that's fish in a barrel, man, that is great.
Yeah.
That's a brilliant idea. Nobody else is doing that, and you do it on your own, you know, you're not paying a promoter, you're not doing any of that shit, and you're picking up other, because anybody who sees Murderitaville for the first time is going to want to see Surrogators and the other films you've made. You know what I mean? They are, because they're great.
No, thank you.
I think yeah, that's a good idea. I would host one of those parties. Absolutely. Fantastic idea.
Hey, if you've got a spot down there, I'll come to South Florida and do a screening of it.
You know, I wish I did. The problem is 20 years ago, all I did was live in nightclubs, man. I was single and that's where everybody that I was selling paintings hung out, was in nightclubs. And so that's where I was hanging out all the time, you know.
Right.
Of course. But man, I've been me and my wife talking about this yesterday. We've been together 14 years now, and I don't go out like I used to, you know. I haven't gone out in 15 years, you know what I mean? Hitting the snake in the scene. I'm married. There's no reason to, you know.
No, I get it. Yeah. I'm right there with you.
10 o'clock. I'm ready for bed, man. Both young Jamie would be going, okay, I better start getting ready to go out now. It's 10 o'clock. That ain't the case anymore, man. It's funny. I actually had somebody ask me, they're like, you used to go out, and, you know, Mr. VIP, and go into all these clubs and stuff. You know, why don't you do that anymore? And I'm like, well, for one, it's really expensive. And they're like, what do you mean? I'm like, well, I got to get the bottle service and the VIP. And they're like, oh, because you're a big shot? I'm like, no, because I'm old and I need a place to sit down. And when they rent you that chair, it ain't cheap, you know. Not because I'm cool. Even then, I want to leave at 11:30, you know. just that. I never thought that would happen. Honestly, that's very true, folks. I never thought I'd get to that point. Anyhow, enough about that. Murderitaville. This is a fantastic film, and you're going to love it. You're going to be disturbed, but not disturbing in an artsy-fartsy way. Just it's a funny disturbing. You know, I don't know. I mean, I know it's not listed on IMDb as a horror comedy, and I understand the reasoning behind that, you know, because it kind of gives a connotation to it. You know, you didn't make Porky's, and there's a horror aspect to this, but it's definitely you know, it's Creepshow for those 80s fans out there. You know, everybody remembers, I was just talking to somebody about this the other day, everybody remembers Stephen King and that goofy, you know, farmer or whatever he was
with
in the Creepshow
movie. Yeah, the blob thing that crawls up his arm.
Yeah, he finds the meteor and all that.
Yeah, the meteor breaks open, and yeah,
and it's very, you know, oh, this guy's a goof, you know, blah, 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 and it's very funny until it ain't. And that final scene of that little thing, it's like, Jesus Christ, that's the most disturbing thing I've ever seen, you know? Folks, for those who haven't seen it, and you say, oh, I'm going to check that out. Don't expect John Carpenter's The Thing. It ain't that disturbing. You know what I mean? There ain't dogs ripping apart or anything. But it's disturbing. It's very simple in its darkness. And, baby. Yeah. This film's kind of like that in a way, you know? Hey, I gotta let you go because, man, the time. But we didn't even get into those underwater shots and shit. Brilliant in this, you know?
Oh, thank you.
That wasn't easy to do.
Yeah, that was. So, you know, I'll give you all the inside baseball on that. We actually shot the underwater stuff in a swimming pool.
Really?
Because the water at the place where we were shooting was so murky and dark, you couldn't see a damn thing once we put the camera underwater. And yeah, the biggest pain with that, honestly, because I was running the camera for those, was just, you know, I had to go underwater before the actors went underwater, so I could set up the shot.
Oh,
so I'm sitting under there trying to hold my breath, and then beyond that, you got to let out all the air in your lungs in order to get to the bottom of the pool to get the shot.
And then you get bubbles.
So you know, you're sitting there like just dying, basically, trying to get the shot as quick as you can before your body just revolts against you and forces you back to the surface so we can breathe again.
Poor Paul, man. He's sitting there under there drowning, basically. Going, I'm so glad I quit smoking 15 years ago, you know? Oh, my God. Crazy. Well, it just goes to show they look fantastic. I didn't know that was
possible. Thank you.
I thought, yeah. Thank makes you, sense yeah, now, because yeah. You're right. You know, I mean, it would be murky, you know?
Oh, yeah, these are the things you have to sort out when you when you have a $2 budget, you know?
There you go, folks. There you go. See, everybody thinks it's just Quentin Tarantino and Pretty Girl's Feet. No, there's other stuff involved in filmmaking. Sometimes.
Oh, man.
Oh, that's crazy. I saw somebody said a joke. I don't know who it was, about Quentin Tarantino and his particular interest, and they're, I don't know, they give a speech or something, and they said, yeah, the only man who's seen more women speak than TSA. I'm like, that's a good joke. That's a good joke.
Man, he really missed his calling in life on that one, huh?
I'm telling you. Yeah. Wrong business. No. But you can't have infinity pools working at TSA. Yeah.
That's a very valid point, yeah. I'm sure he's happy with his choice.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure. Who wouldn't be? Anyhow. Well, you know, the amazing thing about that whole thing, culturally speaking, is that, you know, that's kind of on brand for him, and it's just an accepted, I don't want to use the word perversion because that's such a negative, you know, that's what he's into. Whatever.
Yeah.
Live your truth, as my wife, you know, the young people say. Do you, as long as you're not hurting anybody, I don't give a shit. And both people are into it, you know. But it's weird that is accepted, you know what I mean? That you know, and we live in a time where people bitch about everything, you know? I never hear anybody bitching about that. You know? I hear people bitching about Taylor Swift, a pretty girl and a jock boyfriend. I hear people, you know, that Shane D. that, people up in arms about that, you know? Like, didn't you go to high school? You know, that kind of was the dream of 90, maybe it wasn't my dream, but everybody I went to high school with, it was definitely theirs. I don't see what the issue is, but
next game, she brings that up. Take her shoes off and put her feet up, and then maybe they would all.
Oh, then Quentin's going to make a movie about it. Okay, well, the other team can get you in the locker room, and then they want to kill you. They bring out a straight razor. As long as we don't go Pulp Fiction in the basement of the pawn store.
Right, yeah.
Okay. Jeez. Or Melvin in the back seat. Oh, my God. Although Harvey Keitel that built that seat, you know? Crazy. It's crazy. Well, Murderitaville isn't Pulp Fiction, but it's definitely a classic that you're going to want to play, folks, when you entertain guests in your home. Definitely going to want to put this on. And, you know, you can pick it up March 1st. Very, very cool. And it's even available on VHS. If you have a VHS player, God bless you, you can put this on. How cool is that?
Yes, indeed. And I'll tell you the added benefit
to get that on. As a filmmaker, I mean, to find somebody to put this on a VHS, was that a long search?
Well, you know, I'll tell you, the like everything else I do, I have to make it more complicated.
I got you.
I don't have the budget to do things the easy way. But what it is actually
audio video cables. I get you.
Right. I have one of those. You know, I don't know. Probably 20 years ago now, they were selling those basically VCR DVD combos, so you could convert all your VHSs over to DVD. Well, the interesting thing about those things is that they work the other way too. So literally every VHS tape is sort of a handmade product by me. And the benefit of them is if you watch past the end credits, you'll probably get half of an old Disney movie that I'm taping over. Murderitaville.
I love it.
And I get them printed and I cut them out with a straight razor and glue them all together. And it's a whole, frankly, it's a pain in the ass, Jamie, but it's a cool product. There's something about watching movies like this on VHS that it gives it a weird aesthetic. And there are folks out there who still hold on to their VCRs and they absolutely love it. And God love them, because I think it's a blast.
I'm telling
personally.
You, Paul, I remember set the Wayback Machine to 2001. That's when I first said, you know what, I'm going to do something with this degree and really hit the art world. I was living in San Diego at the time. Hard, you know, and kind of bully my way into it was the plan. Mm-hmm. And I ordered a big box of VHS tapes that were like 3 minutes long. They only had like 3 minutes worth of tape in them. And but I got this big thing. I hooked two VCRs together, made a cool thing on the computer, couldn't get it off the computer onto the VHS. So I had a friend of mine come over with a camcorder. Yeah, and video, you know, put it on there.
He videoed the screen, yeah.
Yeah, and I put these on these VHS tapes, and I had a little package, explained about me, what I was doing, what I was painting, and then it had basically a screensaver with some cool music behind it on the VHS tape. And I sent those to every gallery, club, everywhere in town, and that's a pretty good response. You know, that's how part of how I got into a lot of plays, how things got started, is I hear your pain, man. But it works. When it works, it's great. You know?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, it's funny because I get a lot of young kids now, you know, how do I break into that? Well, think. You know? Do what you got to do, man. That's what you
right?
got to do. You got to work. It's very true. Very true. But, yeah, you know, it's like in your business. Everybody thinks they need an agent, distributor, and all this and that. No, you can do a lot of this yourself.
Yeah, if you're willing to put the time and the work in, you can do all of it yourself. It's just a grind.
You can make movies.
You know that.
You know?
Yeah.
How cool is that? You know, that will be the mill over here. Yeah. How did it happen? I'm pretty impressed. You know, got the coolest job in the world.
Oh man,
that's
thank
awesome.
You. No.
Absolutely. Well, I've kept you way longer than I said I would, but you're just fascinating to talk to. I have so much fun when you're on the show. Let's not make it 2 years again, though. You know what I mean?
No, definitely.
No, we'll
yeah.
Time to talk about movies and filmmaking or something.
Absolutely. I would love to come back anytime.
Some stuff we like to bitch about. You know?
That sounds like a good plan to me.
Yeah, you know? Oh, my gosh. Because there's a lot to bitch about sometimes, no matter what you're doing. Anyway, and I think we can't be the only people that want to hear that stuff. You know what I mean?
There's got to be at least a few others, right?
That's right. Oh, now I sound like one of those guys in Las Vegas. This machine's got to pay out eventually. Maybe not, buddy. Oh, baby. Anyhow. Paul, I always have so much fun. Paul Dale, everybody. Like I said, we have links up. And I'm going to be blasting this out again, folks, come March 1st to remind everybody. And it's a fantastic film. Fantastic film. You knocked it out of the park again, Paul.
Thank
you,
Jamie. I appreciate it. I love talking to you, man. Like, this is always a blast. I really appreciate you having me on and helping get the word out. And I will say, you can pre-order it right now, and it's. I think I have to check because I'm not. I don't remember things, but I think it's 20% off if you pre-order it right now through the website. So, you know, save yourself a few bucks.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
hey, let me ask you this, because I'm a visual guy, and I love the poster for this, the artwork that you have for this. You know, the gal with the martini with the eyes and stuff, and the parrot head. I leave the parrot head for last. I'm focused on the martini. Jesus Christ, what's wrong with me? Anyhow, it's brilliant.
Too long in South Florida.
Brilliant. You got to have do you have posters available of that? Because people are going to want that shit, you know? They want that on the shirt.
Yeah. You know, not yet, but I need to get that up on the website. That's I have them. I just don't have them listed on the website.
I got you.
The long and short of it. I think there's an email on the website somewhere. So if you can find that and you want a poster, you can email me and I'll get you set up.
Very cool. Very cool. Well, that's awesome because it's brilliant, man.
Thank you, man.
Fantastic.
You.
Get it framed, folks. It's a great poster. And you guys have seen it on the web flyers and stuff here that we've had. But it's brilliant. Brilliant. I don't know who did that, whoever did. Buy them a cup of coffee next time you hang out with them because that's a great visual.
Yeah, right. He was an incredible artist, drew that for me. He really knocked it out of the park. It was a lot of back and forth, and I was trying to explain to him. I was like, I want a lady with a drink in her hand who has a parrot for a head, And he was like, I don't understand.
I love it. That's the best part. That is the best part. I love it. I love it. Brilliant. It's brilliant. Oh, man, that is funny. Very, very cool. Well, folks, we're going to run. We will see you next Tuesday, everybody. Have a great weekend. Remember, the world is still a weird place. Be patient. You don't want to wind up in a Karen or Ken video or Chad, whatever they call it, the guy version of that. You don't want to wind up in one of those videos on YouTube. Personally, I find it hilarious, but no, man, don't get kicked off. Don't make everybody late on the plane, you know. Just be patient, and we'll all get through it together. I promise. It'll all work out. Very, very cool. We'll see you next time, everybody. Paul Dale, filmmaker extraordinaire, Murderitaville. Check it out. Thanks, Paul.
Thanks, Jamie. Appreciate you, man.
Absolutely.
This has been pop art painter Jamie Rocks's Pop Rocks Radio Talk Show. It has been executive produced by Jamie Rocks, recorded at his studio in Deerfield Beach in South Florida. All rights reserved by Pop Rocks Limited for broadcast on Blog Talk Radio.
Tana Oli, Pop Rocks Radio.
Estás escuchando Jamie Rocks de Pop Rocks Radio. Manténganse al tanto.
Hej, det här är Hicks från Sverige och ni lyssnar till Pop Rocks Radio med Jamie Rocks.
Blog Talk Radio.